When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which tends to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. This week, you join me, your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as Parker from Vehicle Virgins.
I like the way you say that.
The way I say it as well.
That's good. Instead of Vehicle Virgins, Vehicle Virgins.
Vehicle Virgins.
Really? I don't get the wrong impression.
Yeah, I went a little bit continental.
That's okay. But that's intercontinental. Thank you.
If you're watching us here on the YouTube channel, make sure to hit subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. Excitingly, this is my first ever in-depth special. Now, these episodes are going to be focused on new car test drives as a result from me and maybe my guest going on a new car launch. And this week, we are discussing the McLaren 600LT, sorry, I stumbled a bit there, which we both drove yesterday. Big.
Small. Light, fast.
So,
sideways.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing our thoughts on that car, our thoughts on McLaren as a brand in general, Parker's exciting news that he is going to have a 600LT coming.
Yeah.
And the door that is creaking continuously in the background of this podcast.
Do you want me to go fix it?
No, it's good.
It's part of the
really
vibe.
Yeah, it's really warm in here today, so I've opened up the door to my garden. It's creaking a bit. Just go with it, guys. It's atmosphere. So anyway, look, let's get into it. We are going to be discussing in depth the McLaren 600LT. So yes, the 600LT, this is the new lightweight, track-focused version of the McLaren 570S. Essentially the speciale, the pista equivalent for the McLaren Sports Series range.
Or for those who aren't just pure Ferrari enthusiasts, the performante to the Huracan.
Oh god, I knew a Lamborghini fan would break their way.
No, I'm just trying. Look, I have the McLaren and some other cars. I like to, you know.
No, you're doing well. I'm very biased in all of my content. So,
yeah, but you're biased on some. You've got the right path.
Thank you so much.
You know what you like.
I'm passionate about the prancing horse. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that brand. We're here to talk about McLaren. So let's get into it. We went to Hungary.
Yeah.
To the Hungaroring.
Yeah.
Had you been there before?
Never. I've been there in Forza. Okay. Like 4 times.
I've been there on the PlayStation.
Funny enough, you do recognize some elements of where the turns are going to be when you're on the track. I actually didn't put two and two together. You just kind of pick a random track on Forza. I'm driving it. And then when they showed during the briefing, the safety briefing of what the track was like, I'm like, I've driven this.
I've
driven this.
Yeah.
Now, did that help with my driving ability? No. But I was familiar with the grandstands.
There we go. That's okay. It's good to know that Forza is that realistic. I'm overtly familiar with that track because it's a Formula One track.
Yeah,
of course. And as you know, I'm obsessed. So for me, a big part of the reasoning as to why I wanted to go to this event was the opportunity to drive on that circuit.
It was legendary.
Because it's far away and it's legendary and it's been the scene of many great races. So to be able to thrash around there in one of the newest sports cars, supercars, was a great opportunity. Fun track to drive, like a go-kart track,
dude,
isn't it? There's always stuff going on.
I've driven a lot of tracks, actually, done thousands of laps, and that might have been one of the most fun tracks I've ever driven, and most technical, because there's a lot of sections where you can master one turn at a time on a track, And so you go, okay, this is this turn again. Let's work on this. But on the Hungaro ring, you have to be looking three turns ahead on some of the turns, where if you get even 2 feet to the right, it screws up the next turn, which murders the turn after that.
That's it. It's a flow. You've got to find a flow, which
was so fun.
So much fun. And for me, an NAF1 fan, the most exciting corner is this sharp left-hander. It must be turn five or so as you head up the hill before the long right-hander and then the chicane.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
Yes.
And so much steeper than it appears on TV.
Yep. You know,
from years of watching on Formula One, it just looks like a quick left-hander. But it's really blind. Like, you wait until you get up over the crest and then you have to turn.
Yeah.
So doing that in a Formula One car must be a lot of fun.
Dude, if it was fun, like the 600 LT, and we'll talk more about it, obviously a tremendous car. And it has the right amount of power for the chassis, where you're not feeling like your body's leaving the car because it's going so fast. But in something like an F1 car, I can't imagine, one, how hard on the gas you can be during certain points, how much grip, and two, how many Gs on your body that turn would create.
I can imagine. I don't know if I told you, I actually have driven a Formula One car very recently.
Yeah, you told me that. I try to block that out of my memory book because that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Everyone.
You have.
I look for any excuse. I'm like, oh, my neck is so sore from driving a Formula One car.
I would do the same.
But let's move on from the track and let's talk about this car. I'm going to use and abuse your brilliant ability to reel off facts and stats.
We can
on
do
this
that.
Thing.
We can do that.
Can you recall sort of the top line figures and the differences between this and the 570?
Oh, yeah. So let's do it. So it's based on the 570, which is a sport series car. There's the sport series, the super series, and the ultimate series. But we got to drive the 570 prior to the 600 LT to learn the track, which was really cool. The 570 is an amazing vehicle, but you can tell on the track, it's a bit limited in terms of when you have steering angle, it limits the boosts as a safety precaution, because otherwise it's rear wheel drive. It's very powerful. You might spin sideways. But it felt kind of like, you're limiting me more than I want to be limited. You get into the 600 LT, it's another animal. So they made it lighter. They made it faster. They made the steering rack sharper. The suspension's 8 millimeters lower. And it comes together in this package that's just pretty mind-altering. So we've got 3.8-liter twin-turbo V8, 592 horsepower, which in today's day and age, you're like, well, a Hellcat's got 707. But it weighs 1,247 kilograms. So for the U.S. people out there, it's under 2,800 pounds. It's 220 pounds lighter than a GT2 RS.
The stats are, on paper,
nuts. And so because of its weight, it actually out-accelerates a GT2 RS and annihilates a Performante from 0 to 200 kilometers an hour, 0 to 124 miles an hour.
I'm so glad you're here, by the way, because I couldn't do anything that you just did. But you're so right.
I made that all up. Those are all fake.
Could you imagine the comment section?
Yeah, Parker, they're like, dude, you. He just, that would be,
yeah,
I should have done
ultimate
that.
Ultimate troll. But no, but this is the thing which I was quite blown away by during the presentation that we got before we actually went out in the car, is that this 600 LT is not, a sort of spicy 570S.
No.
This is a proper car which competes with, as you mentioned, Porsche GT2 RS, Huracan Performante, and whilst they didn't list it on the piece of paper, arguably the 488 Pista.
They listed the 488 on the piece of paper for the acceleration time because, sure, to my knowledge, there hasn't been too many tests yet on Pista acceleration.
That's exactly it. It hasn't actually been out and had enough
and
of its
I've
tests.
Heard that it's somewhere in the 8.3 second range to 124, and the 600 does it in 8.2. So.
Well, here we go. I have the comparisons right now. So okay, you've got it in your brain. I've got it on a piece of paper. The GT2 RS, we're doing 0 to 100 kilometers an hour here. 2.8. Performante, 2.9. 488 GTP is 3.0. And the 600 LT is 2.9. The more impressive stat, though, is the 0 to 200 kilometers an hour. Because we've got GT2 RS at 8.3. Performante at 8.9. I mean, bloody hell. Just
what
are you doing, Lambo? Like, are you going to sleep in that time? 488 is 8.4. The 600 LT is the quickest of them all at 8.2.
Yeah.
And this is a car with more downforce to help you go around a track. It's got that wing on the back. It's a long tail. It's got a lot of gibbons on it. Gubbins.
Gribbons.
And theoretically, only 30 more PS horsepower.
Yeah.
So super impressive stats on paper. The thing I think we all were shocked by is just how different it feels compared to the 570S that it's based on.
It feels as different to me. Now, I haven't driven a 570S GT3, but it really does feel like a legal track car. And that's really impressive.
I'm so with you, because what we did, which Parker's already touched on.
Or GT4, sorry.
Yeah. GT4, good point. Is that we had the opportunity to drive a 570S Spider, we will clarify, first. So our first laps on the track were in a 570S Spider. Obviously a car which
you had a coupe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Which is
okay.
An
well,
even more accurate comparison. Oh,
okay, yeah. Fine. Because I kind of thought maybe they were trying to trick us a bit with the Spider.
Yeah, no. I had a coupe, okay, thankfully. Otherwise, okay, well, that would be like, yeah, look at the weight difference. Yeah.
Honestly.
It's like crazy. Like the roof comes off on the 570. That's a huge plus.
Maybe they're just like, Sam's a bit thick. Let's give him the really clear differentiation just so he can really tell. But it was quite evident quite quickly how the 570S Spider wasn't really that suited to being on track. A fantastic road car, but it was squirmy under brakes. As you said, you get a lot of hold back on initial out of the corners.
Yeah.
And just fundamentally, it was weirdly wallowy for a supercar. The minute you drive out of the pit lane in 600LT, you know you're in something different.
Dude, at 2 miles an hour at 1,000 RPM, you're already like, oh, yeah. Oh, let's go.
Those initial gear shifts, brutal. In sport, at least. As you know, they really have engineered a lot of kick, which is a lot of fun. But for me, the two biggest sort of takeaways were the brakes, which I want to talk a little bit more about, but most importantly, the front end grip and turning. Because my lord, this thing was unbelievable. Now, personally, I don't do that much track driving. I'd love to do more, but it's limited. And so my lines, I was getting up to speed nice and slowly. I'm very smooth. And I was kind of going through some of the longer corners thinking, okay, I'm kind of at a nice point here, a nice balance. I can't really do much more. And the coach would say, right, now get to that white line at the apex. Like, get there.
Yeah,
and I'd just turn, and I was there. Yeah. There was no hint of understeer. There was no hint of anything. It would just go whenever you wanted
to. And the car was so forgiving. It was so accurate. Yet, if you were off on the line, just like he was saying, he'd be like, just a little bit more. And I'm like, there I am.
Yeah.
I'm there. And it literally felt like an all-wheel drive car in terms of its ability to grip, but there was no understeer because it's a rear-wheel drive car. And the turn-in was like a razor because it didn't have the whole drivetrain in the front. It was just ridiculous.
It was unbelievable in terms of that front end turning. And what I loved in terms of then playful characteristics are because of these phenomenal brakes, the way that you could kind of unbalance and disrupt the car with a dab at the brakes was the funnest part about it. If you wanted to get the car to turn around a little bit more, if you want to get a bit of slime, like just a dab of the brakes, and the thing was so playful.
Yeah.
And that's something I personally haven't experienced in a McLaren really before.
How many have you driven on a track where you're
very good point
where you're able to do such things?
570S in Monza, and I really wasn't pushing it that hard. So
gotcha.
I'm fully aware that maybe that's the case. I just haven't had a chance to do so. But I was blown away that I was doing that in six laps in a brand new 600LT.
Yeah,
it gave you that confidence
in a track we hadn't driven, in a car we hadn't driven. All of a sudden, you felt like a champion.
And that was
not us. That was the car.
That was the car. It was very confidence inspiring, right?
Yeah.
I think so. And it implores you, it wants you to push it even more, push it harder. And as a track toy, I think it's fantastic.
No, it really is impressive that I can't think of too many downsides. Like, you could say, it's twin turboed and the Huracan isn't, but there's no turbo lag. And you could say, it's rear wheel drive. I don't know why you would say it like that. Nobody's saying it like that. I tried to like say a point there, but it was pretty dumb. But we've got
bespokely
made Trofeo R's that have so much grip. It's crazy. And it reminds me a lot of the Kumho tires they designed for the ACR, where it was like a match made in Harmony because they developed it for the car and it made so much grip that people were like, well, the ACR is kind of crap because the tires are so good.
It's too much grip.
Then you guys are just, crap meaning it, it was crap that it was so much faster, because the reason it was faster is because of the tires. But then, okay, you're just not pulling out all the strings. Then make your tires better on your car.
There we go.
There's no legal problem here. So the car had just endless grip, but at the same time, you could, with the brakes, and once it broke loose, it was such a stable chassis. I sent maybe five corners, like full lock sideways, and...
Yeah, you were feeling it.
And you know a car is good when, you're at a press day, you're in someone else's car, and you realize that your reputation rides on making this car is safe. And I made sure with the professional driver that it was acceptable to do that. And they kind of actually said in the briefing that, like, you know, we'll put it in dynamic mode for the traction so you can play around a little bit. And for me to take that risk and successfully do it and feel amazing while doing it was like, this is a well-balanced car. This is a, like, I am drifting this
that,
car.
Which right is now. Insane, yeah. Six laps in. Well, I want to come back to a point that you just made a little second ago, though, is what are the negatives? What could the negatives be? Because I think we had an amazing experience, and I'm always aware on these press drives that, you know, you're in a beautiful location with a brand new car, and, you know, a lot of it is just the day out, you know, you're having a great day out. I've pulled up here what McLaren have created as a sort of spider diagram. I'll spin it around so you can see it too.
I like this diagram.
Which is really helpful because it tries to demonstrate the differences between the 600LT, the 570S, and interestingly, the 675LT. So it lists different attributes, chassis engagement, powertrain engagement, driver comfort, practicality, quality of design, etc. Now, fundamentally, the LT is much closer in every single attribute to the 675LT than it is the 570S.
Yeah, I think they benchmarked the 675. I've driven the 675. And in every aspect, the 600 is better.
It's better, but closer to that. If you the actual shapes of the diagram are so different between the 570 and the 600LT.
Yeah,
it's quite shocking. You go,
yeah, they're
not
rotated.
Look at that.
They're like, let's take the 570 and let's flip it 40 degrees.
And so, therefore, my question comes into what this car would be like on the road. I was aware that the Hungaroring was incredibly smooth. I mean, FIA Formula One levels of smooth. And in track mode, even still, I was feeling a few bumps and creases.
Oh, it's stiff.
It's stiff. So I do wonder how that's going to feel on the road, but I think maybe you want it. From a car like this, you probably want a bit of stiffness. My question is, how much of the performance you're actually going to get on the road over and above a 570S?
I think that the feeling you get driving it at slow speeds tells the whole story.
And you got a good feeling at slower speeds?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I drove, in the beginning, the first laps in the 600, or the first one lap, at a moderate pace to remember that, you've never been on this track, and this is a very fast car. Let's learn the lines. Don't go out there ego swinging thinking that you're amazing, because that's when things happen. But then I did, in the middle of the 2 6 lap sessions, I did a session in the middle where I did a talking session where I kind of just explained the feelings of the car, what I was hearing, feeling, what, instead of the stats, I'd already done that. And because I was talking, I did it at a slower speed.
Sure.
And the response of the engine, the feeling of the gear shifts, the tightness of the suspension, it was fun at low speed. So I don't think that you need to be 10 out of 10, and we never went even close to that.
Sure.
In fact, I think that a lot of us could, unless you drove irresponsibly, could drive similar on the road in the right environment as to what we are doing, because it wasn't our car. It was the first time on the car, so nobody was like really
going crazy.
You know?
Maybe,
you know, obviously not the
Seb Delaney was.
Was he?
Yeah, he was not messing around.
That's awesome. I mean, obviously not the drifting stuff, but in terms of just like, you know, taking the line nice and driving within your limits. But the bumps are interesting. Now, they took suspension geometry off of the 720, which is good because the 570 gets unsettled really easily on bumps. The 720, I drove that on some of my favorite roads. I had one for 4 days from McLaren, and the way it could just absorb bumps was amazing, because if you have the stiffest chassis in the world and it doesn't absorb bumps, then the car is going to be like,
just jumping,
and then you're
going to
end up off
the
cliff.
Yeah,
it might be good on a smooth, you know, on the glass, but when you're on the gravel, it's just not good.
No, it's not. You don't want to be on the gravel.
Is it the Gravelwood motor cars?
Yes,
that...
well done. R.I.P. Tony.
It's like I did research.
If you survive the Alps tour, we'll welcome you back soon.
I love Tony.
We all love
shout
Tony.
Out Tony. He's
Tony.
A dude.
Yeah. He'd love to be here right now because he loves talking about McLarens.
I'm sure he does.
He does love talking about the McLarens. So the other question, or the other point that I have wrong with this car, is the design.
Okay.
And this is a slightly awkward topic because we're now going to come to the fact that you have ordered one of these
cars.
Yeah,
no. Dude, I did make fun of me. Make fun of my... Look at this design.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm incredibly jealous. You just got to bought one of the coolest new cars
no,
ever.
No, I meant this.
Oh, sorry. Your aesthetic. Yeah, that's a disaster.
Unfortunately, if I get too angry, it'll upset my parents. So I can't really get mad about my spec.
Sure, fair play. Sorry, parents.
Or your spectacles.
Yeah, hello. So I've completely forgotten what we're talking about. Your parents. What about your parents?
They're nice.
Yeah. The design of the car.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I think it looks... Okay, in the UK, we have a shop called Halfords. It's like a auto parts shop, I guess. You go and you get like spinning rims and fluffy dice.
So it's like Pep Boys or AutoZone or O'Reilly.
Maybe. I don't know those references.
Ow!
Oh,
that, yeah. That was
sounds
a,
about right.
Yeah,
though.
That was a store.
You can get like bicycle racks for your car.
It's same
like,
store.
Okay,
same
fine.
Store. Yeah.
So that's what we have. And so it looks like someone's taken a 570S to Halfords and put on a load of cool bits or gone to Novatek or gone to
You know
to
McLaren's
going to
watch this.
Oh, I do. Like, no, but yeah. I'm being
no,
honest.
No.
Like,
you're allowed to say whatever you want. I'm you're being genuine.
I'm being genuine. Like, wow. And because even the top exit exhaust, I'm a bit like, bit of a gimmick. Like, I know they have the benefits, and I guess it's pressure, and you can probably explain this a bit more.
Yeah, so I can explain the but
actual
continue benefit. Yours first.
But it's just a little bit toy car-esque. And for me, the 675 LT is aging incredibly well. I think it's now turning into being a really beautiful car, and I think in years to come, that car's going to be a classic that we're all going to be going, wow, we should have bought those when they were 200 grand.
What I would argue... is that sometimes designers are ahead of the population.
Totally agree.
F12 came out beautiful right from the get-go. F12 TDF came out, I went...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Whoa, that kind of looks like some auto parts store stuff on it.
Sure.
And then now it's grown on me as the savage beast. And when the 720 came out, everyone's like, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
And now everyone's loving
it. So it's hard to say. I agree. I'm close with a couple aftermarket tuning companies who have built kits for the 570. And I'll be honest, their kits that came out first do look quite similar to what now McLaren's done with the 600 LT. Now, you can only do so much with a car in terms of adding aggressive side skirts, a newer front bumper, a wing, and an aggressive rear diffuser. So there's no wonder why McLaren didn't copy those people. They just created the best aerodynamics they could, which is what they were trying to do. But I agree. It is a little boy racer-ish.
There we go. That's exactly
it. I'm like really immature, so I love it.
Sure, so you're like all over it.
Yeah, I'm like, this is sick.
And I do feel like it's spec dependent because when I was taking some of my B-roll shots, I sort of sat down, I really looked at the car from a low angle and it is mad aggressive.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I've always loved the look of the sports series car. Heck, I owned a 540C because I thought it looked freaking amazing.
And it
drove incredibly well. So I love the looks of the car, but it's just some of the parts and the carbon roof and all these things that I'm just a bit like, so maybe it's just spec dependent and maybe cars will come out that I'll go, okay, I'm getting it now.
Yeah, that the spec plays a big role in terms of the lightness or darkness of the color. So if you have a white car, the carbon roof pops. All the carbon pops. It looks like it's added on to the car.
There
now,
we
that
go.
Can be cool or not cool, depending upon your point of view. If you've got an all-black one, for instance,
sure.
Imagine how it would all flow together.
Sick. Well, like the MSO Stealth in whatever they called it, the one
looked
that was
epic.
Looked amazing, so, that was shown at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Looked really cool. So, yes, it's that. Those are my negatives. Those are my takeaway negatives.
Sure.
It's potentially going to be a little bit of a track car, not necessarily such a road car, and that visually I'm not sure I love what they've done with it. Apart from that, I think it's fantastic.
It's one of the best cars I've ever driven.
Which is a huge thing to say,
yeah.
and such a departure from a 570, which was already a brilliant car. Now, the other interesting point we have to make, and this brings us onto a wider discussion about McLaren. We are going to come back to talk about the fact that you've ordered one of these cars.
We don't need to talk
about it. No, but I want it.
okay.
Did you announce the spec in your...
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about. So it brings us onto a wider discussion about McLaren. The fact that with the 600LT, they are not limiting the number of cars they make. They are going to build as many as they can in a limited time period. So this is a new move for them.
I don't like that.
You don't like that.
Only because since I have bought one, how do I know how many they're actually going to make?
Why do you care?
Value.
Okay.
I don't care too much because, as we'll talk later, I'm going to be putting some very heavy miles on it.
Sure.
So the value, as I've already admitted, is I'd be foolish to think if I put 20,000 miles on it, it would be okay. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
There'll be nights I will cry.
It's going to be horrible.
But Ford actually did a similar thing, although they did say the number, but they didn't say how many years. They said they'd build 254 GTs per year
For 20 years.
Yeah. Ooh. They wouldn't do that, but it was like, is it 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years? We don't really know.
No one's got a clue.
So, you know, how many cars can McLaren build in a year? Not that many.
Fundamentally, what they're pumping out, like 4,000 cars in general, right?
Yeah.
Including 720s and
yeah.
570 Spiders.
So it might come out to somewhere between 400 and 800. I think they're trying to maximize profits while keeping it limited, which makes sense. So they're doing kind of a supply on demand.
And isn't that the Porsche model? Isn't that what Porsche do with the GT products?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, the demand
is there. Porsche knows what they're doing.
Yeah, Porsche know what they're doing. And if the demand is there, why not? I mean, I think the car is brilliant. It's going to be in demand. It is still limited in the sense where it's going to come down to dealers and it's going to come down to a smaller number than the sort of standard 570S.
Yeah.
But there may be more than 500.
Yeah, well, look, the clientele is different. You need a person with a little bit more money, but more importantly, somebody who wants that type of car. And that's not the average consumer. That, you know, somebody who has some money who wants a sports car, a 570S is an amazing car, but it's comfortable. It's perfect. But if you want, you know, a more exciting car, which is what I'm interested in, and you as well, that's why you like the Challenge Stradale.
Hello.
Your favorite car.
Best car in the world.
Then it's a smaller clientele, and it's less usable. So you've got to have more cars, and you got to, like, there's a time and a place for it. So now that we're talking this through, I'm less worried. I take back my statement.
Okay, you take back your statement. Because yeah. I think also the one thing that I'll warn you as a X540 owner is that McLarens don't sell well used. Because I think fundamentally they're easy to get hold of new. It's
yeah.
not like a Porsche or Ferrari where you kind of have to work up towards the special cars and they tell you there's a long waiting list. If you want a new McLaren, you can go and get one, which is great.
Unless they're done with the, I feel like with the LT, if it's used and they don't have the new LT out yet, might be a decent spot.
Okay, so this brings me on to everyone's favorite topic. And to be honest, like something that I've talked about a lot before and been a bit naive to, you know, there are too many McLarens. They make too many models. They make too many numbers of the models that they have. Blah, da, blah, da, blah, da, blah, da.
You have friends that talk like that?
No, that's me, like a couple of weeks ago. So
you were sounding like that earlier.
Thank you.
Actually, earlier today.
Yeah, probably. I am very guilty of some of these assumptions as well. And, you know, it was talking with you, but also at the launch, talking with the guys from McLaren, it took me to understand the sort of the model, the business model at the moment. Because if you want a track-focused McLaren, a more
yeah.
hardcore, sporty, racier McLaren, your two options right now are the 600LT or the Senna.
Uh-huh.
Very different ends of the spectrum in terms of the market.
Yeah.
But
yeah, what a juxtaposition.
Huge juxtaposition. The 600LT is competing with all the big hitter lightweight track focused
yeah.
supercars. As we've mentioned, Performante, we think the Pista,
GT2
RS, GT3 RS, you know, that's the level that it's at.
Yeah.
So the 720S, whilst performance wise is a step further on, is still a GT car.
Yep.
So it doesn't give you that raw sense, which is my problems with the 720S, because, you know, it's too much of a G-Car for me. So therefore, McLaren are actually being a little bit clever in some senses. They've got the Citroën LT for someone who wants a little bit more raucousness, a little bit more traffic, because it's the smaller, it's the more nimble car. The 720 is the big hitter, big GT, like the 812 or the Aventador, like the big, you know, this is the car that is our big flagship car-ish, I guess. And then you step down to the babies, which is the 570, which is, I guess, is the R8 or the 911.
Well, I think they've realized that they fought against themselves with the 12C 650S replacement. They're depreciating their own cars. There wasn't really a reason to buy other cars. But now they've gone the other way, and they've really kind of figured out a brand strategy. And if you look at the Senna as well, that's priced at a very interesting price point, because it's really sort of going up against the likes of a Valkyrie and a Project One, except it's three times less expensive. So that if it's not quite as fast, which it can't be because you don't have the money, then that's okay. But if it's almost as fast, yet it's three times less, whoa.
Even if it looks hideous.
It's a questionable one. Yeah, it's a questionable one.
It's a Marmite
car. In person, it's better, but it is not beautiful like a P1.
No.
It is purely savage, like some sort of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it's very Optimus Prime. Yeah. That's it to the T. But yeah, I think the big question mark will be the 720S LT. Should there be one? Whatever variant that's going to be called. We know, where will that start to fit in? Because I think, you know, we've all sat in a lot of McLaren briefings where they talk about track 25, the big plan for the company to take them to the year 2025, the amount of cars they plan to release, or the derivatives of the cars that they plan to release. It's a big number. It's 18, right? So that includes Spiders, GTs, Coupes, LTs, one-offs, you know, all these different bits. So it's not as simple as 18 new models coming. But that does sound like a lot. If they continue on this path of, okay, if you want the hardcore track car, 600LT.
Yeah.
If you want a kind of entry-level McLaren, 570. Mm-hmm. If you want the big hitter, does everything, 720. And if you want the big, big hitter, you get the Senna.
Yeah.
If they then bring out a 755LT in a year or a couple of years.
I think it's 3 years out.
3 years out.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't want that coming in 6 months, is what I'm saying.
I talked to them a lot about that. Okay. And the car I've always wanted and was waiting for was the 755, whatever they're going to call
it. Whatever it might
be. The 720S LT version. That is the car that I always wanted. So my game plan was, having worked with McLaren a fair amount, buy a used 720 to hold me over for a year until it comes out, because I'm like, it's coming out. It's got to be coming out. So then they told me,
it's McLaren, it's going to come out.
That no, it's actually not coming out. And the reason I was like, well, what do you mean? You're always like, new car. Like, They messed up on the 12C. And the reason being is, well, one, they called it the MP4-12C, the MP4 based off of old, was it F1 car or an Indy car? F1 car. Cool name, not really for a car. You know, it makes sense for an F1 car because nobody knows the name of the darn car anyways. Or if they do, they're you and they're like, oh, I love
fantastic. What a great car.
Oh, MP4-12C-455.
Three races. Yes. And not, no. Okay,
so they replaced the 12C with the 650S, but it actually wasn't a replacement. It was the same car with a new front bumper. So they depreciated the 12Cs horrendously, which made a lot of 12C owners very angry, rightfully so, with a car that was the same as the 12C, but they changed the name because they didn't like the 12C name, and they wanted a name that represented horsepower and represented where the car slotted in. And then that's when they, if you pretend that the 12C is a 650S, then it all makes sense. They had 2 years of, they had the 12C, so let's call it a 650S, a 650S Spider. Then they had a slight update of that with the coupe and the Spider, and then they had the LT and the LT Spider. So then you jump to the 720S, which is so far ahead of its time in terms of performance, just like the 12C was destroying everything, just destroying everything. Even when the next gen of cars from certain companies came out, the 12C was still like, well, here's a little power bump to 636 horsepower. Good luck with that one. And with the lightweight, they really killed it. So the 755LT, whatever it's going to be called, I don't even know. I wish I've asked like a million times. I'm like, please,
give me some information.
Just tell me that. Even when I was looking into buying a car, I wasn't even able to be told what the 600LT was. I was just told
there's something coming you might be
maybe
interested
don't
in.
Get the 720, maybe wait for a card that you'll be interested in. I was like, no, I'm interested in the 755 LT. And he's like, but maybe you're interested in this. And I was like, no. And then it turns out I'm really interested in it.
Now, you might be sitting here, the skeptical ones amongst you, going, oh, here we go. Here's another bunch of YouTubers being paid by McLaren to promote their
Yeah,
products.
I wish. That'd be sick.
Oh, that'd be the best thing
Come on, McLaren, please, pay us.
I know you're watching McLaren.
And also the free cars thing. Yeah, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
This car is costing me so much. It's going to be painful.
And I can see why skeptical people might think of it, because as a group here in the UK, but also with the likes of Parker and Alejandro and a lot of huge car YouTubers around the world, have really got on board with the McLaren brand. We've bought McLarens, we've used McLarens, we've borrowed McLarens, we've been going to McLaren events. And for me, that is because of two things.
Okay.
Firstly, when you are around this brand, it is incredibly exciting.
Yep.
They feel like they're doing things that no one else is doing. They are very open to the way that they work with us.
That's nice. I
which
love
is
that.
Fantastic. They're forward thinking. They're exciting. They're clean cut. They just feel like an exciting, for me, British brand. So it's really hard not to get caught up in that when you're around them. I freely admit, when you're not around them, it's quite easy to go, oh yeah, whatever, McLaren.
Well, they are amazing, they're pioneers, and they're also willing to learn and take feedback. So they are kind of like the Apple of the car world, where the products are technologically amazing, innovative. They're coming into a world of Microsoft where they're like, everyone's like,
yeah, chill.
Take a seat.
Chill.
This is business. You and your little artsy Apple thing, go down there. And then all of a sudden, it captured the minds of brilliant people with... And there's a really good story behind it, and Bruce McLaren. It's just
the
all genuine
heritage, not necessarily the current motorsport heritage,
yeah.
but the past.
Yeah, of course.
It all ties into being this really exciting company to be part of and to be around. And when you're in their cars, hooning around the Hungara Ring, driving across Tenerife, driving down to Monaco, whatever it might be, you get completely sort of, you know, infatuated with it, don't you? It's a bit of a brainwashing, just like Apple, which is why I was so happy you brought that up, because look at us both here with our Apple laptops.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got iPhones. You know, biggest company in the world now, or one of the
is it a $1 trillion company now?
I think wasn't it Apple?
Yeah,
that broke that. So
good
you know,
them. That's
not everyone
insane.
Not everyone loves that thing, but I do feel like McLaren are that kind of brand. That once you're on board, you become their best salespeople.
Yeah, because they make a good product. That's at the end of the day, I never support things that I don't genuinely believe in. And once I believe in something so much, McLaren could, you know, stop inviting me to things, yet I'd still be like, I really like this darn car.
Okay, well, so this is the prime example, right?
Yeah.
So I have my 540C. I had it for 6 months. I put 7,000 miles on it. I have mentioned many times before, and I documented whilst I had it, I had issues with that car. It wasn't the most straightforward. I had electronic glitches. It never stopped me from going anywhere, but it's annoying little electronic glitches. Since then, I've driven a few cars that, again, have had like little just things like key not found or,
yep,
you know, won't
that's
start.
A common
like,
one.
Even when I went in the center test drive, handbrake failed. Just like little annoying, silly things that do bug you and do grate on you.
Yeah, because you spend a lot. This is your dream car, potentially, and you're like, Please,
just work. However, despite all that, as a company, as a brand, I still love everything they stand for. And when I'm around their products and it's going good, I'm like, this is, there's something here. Like, this is exciting. I want to be part of this.
Yeah.
And that 600 LT experience, I literally got out and I was like, I'm so jealous of you, dude. I'm so jealous of you because here is a really exciting car that is going to dominate the space. So when did you decide to put the order in? Because you said they were kind of teasing you, saying that there's something coming.
Yeah, so there was something coming. They said, wait for Goodwood. And then I started learning about what likely the car was. And so I got a ride in the car up the hill climb at Goodwood the day they unveiled the 600 LT. And something about the way the exhaust cracked and the way the suspension felt. I wasn't even driving.
Okay.
Just a passenger. And the look on the pro driver's face and the drifty, it was like, wow, this is it. So that day I spec'd it out on the screen. I picked Lantana Purple, which is this dark purple color that in certain lighting starts to look deep blue. And I don't know, I really like it.
Okay.
And then I started getting really carried away. And I
got, well, you can head over to Parker's channel, yeah. Vehicle Virgins, to check out the spec of his car, the spec of his incoming car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bold in some areas, but also brilliant in others. And as I say, I'm incredibly jealous because it just was a fantastic car. I think we're both incredibly grateful for the experience to have gone out there and driven it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to apologize for being overly positive about the experience, the car, or the brand, because as I've explained, as we've discussed, they are a very exciting company. And I think I had forgotten that with my time away from the brand since selling my 540C.
Yeah, that happens. Your time away from anything.
Time away. And I was like, oh, yeah, whenever they're making loads of them. And, you know, my key not found. That was like a...
Well, like, your key wasn't found. And then you finally found the key.
I finally found the key.
You need to find a 600 LT car and just buy one.
Hold on a second. I'm not that rich yet.
there you go. Perfect. Cheers, pal. Just sell all your Ferrari dreams.
Could you imagine? No.
Really? I'm just kidding.
But hopefully, McLaren, again, I know you're watching. I'm going to get hold of a 600LT on the road because I am very intrigued by that, as we've discussed.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Whether it translates as a similar experience. And I would assume it does because the 675LT, which is a fantastic road car.
I've only driven the 675 on the road.
Okay.
And so I haven't driven it on the track. I've only driven the Senna and the 600LT on the track. But you got to remember, these people are very smart at this company. Yes, we did a press launch at a track, but a big reason was dealing with insurance if somebody were to crash into it. So,
and they didn't have that many cars.
And there weren't that many roads to drive on where they were. So it has to be good on the road. It might be a little bit harsher than you're used to from McLaren, but at the same time, the Performante rides like a bag of bricks.
Yeah, it's more about extracting performance is where I'm at. Because, you know, even like the 720, it's great because it's got the GT car characteristics that you're comfortable, but you really have to be cracking on to get the proper performance.
You
got to
drive so hard in that car. I drove it hard, real hard. And finally, I was like, I get it now.
Yeah, but you
shouldn't have to drive like dangerously to get that.
And that's what I don't want with the 600. That's what I don't want is to get on the road and be like, oh, well, it's only great when you find a canyon road where you can really be cracking on in the 4 a.m. in the morning, but the rest of the time it's a little bit dull. That's what I hope is not the case.
So I doubt it.
I guess we'll find out.
Well,
you'll find out before I do, potentially. You don't have any timeline on your car?
I won't say.
But potentially, if Parker gets a car before I get a chance to get him one, then a flight to LA is due on my side.
I'll let you rip it around.
And when is this going out? Yeah, I've made my announcement. Well, next year, when I'm doing the American leg, I'm going to come and find you and hang out the back of your 600LT.
Or in the trunk, sure. Or in the driver's seat. Whatever. The back of it. Where would you go?
No, you know that expression? Hang out the back of... No, okay. It's a PG channel. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed today's podcast. Parker, thank you so much for coming along,
of course,
all the way to the UK just to appear on this show.
I'm only here for this.
Thank you so much.
So thank God for picking up when I knocked on the door, because that would have been awkward.
That would have been awkward. I would have filmed this by myself. So if you want to check out any of Parker's content, if you don't know his channel, Vehicle Virgins, for those of you watching on YouTube, a link is below and it will be at the end on the end slate as well. For those of you listening, youtube.com/Vehicle Virgins, I'm assuming. You can check it out. If you are watching this podcast on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe, turn on notifications, and if you're listening to us, keep following us on whatever platform you are. Fantastic. Thanks very much, everyone. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.